this is something I look forward to every year, and that is the annual Young Artists Winners of the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. The last 8 or 10 years, the Coeur d'Alene Symphony has had a major concerto competition that usually takes place in very early January. And after a group of performers have sent in recordings and are vetted down to a group of finalists, they come to Spokane and do a two-day, very intense competition, out of which about a half dozen winners are picked to perform with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. These are students, as you're about to hear, from all over the country. And today we're going to hear from a tuba player, a cellist, a soprano, a pianist, and then a violinist and a pianist playing together, although they're each appearing with that group as winners. And so that's the way it begins. And we have the tuba player. This was the wind winner in the college division. His name is Brandon Kasdan, a tuba player who's going to be playing the Rachmaninoff vocalise. And he's joined by the pianist, Rochelle Ventura. with our studio audience of the other performers from the Coeur d'Alene Symphony Competition and therefore a set of concerts happening tomorrow night and Saturday afternoon. We were just hearing the tuba player, Brandon Kasdan, who was playing the Rachmaninoff vocalise, and he was joined by the pianist Rochelle Ventura on that. So pick a microphone there, and we'll come a little closer to it, and we'll get to know you. Point it down toward you a little bit. Okay, Brandon. Welcome. What a beautiful sound. What a beautiful playing of Rachmaninoff.
Thank you so much.
How did the tuba come into your life?
Tuba came in late junior to early senior year of high school. I played clarinet at the time, and the tuba player at my high school had recently graduated. So the band director was trying to find someone else to fill up that spot. And he called me over one day and he said, "Hey, you're a big guy. So,
how's that for profiling?
Do you want to take up the tuba?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. I'll give it a go." And I ended up enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, let's talk about the enjoying. So you'd been, I assume you were, if he called you over, you were probably proven to be a good, smart musician who knew how to play the clarinet, was doing fine on the clarinet. But what was suddenly nicer about the tuba for you?
The tuba, I felt, had a nice, mellower tone. The tone was really rich, if that speaks well. And the sound that I produced, even though it wasn't that good at the time, the sound that I produced was definitely a sound that drawed attention to me, and I eventually stayed with it.
Nice. We extrapolate that if the tuba player graduated, you were at a small high school.
Yeah.
Where was that?
It was Lehigh Valley Charter High School for the Arts in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. And home of the Bethlehem Bach Festival and other things. So did you grow up in a world surrounded by music?
No, not essentially. I was the only one in my family who started music. I actually started listening to Squidward, actually, on SpongeBob, plays clarinet. And I told my parents, I want to do that. And that's how I got started on clarinet.
Oh, what a great story. So then once you, and that's quite late, although with tuba one can do that. You started there in fairly late in high school. Then was it pretty obvious by the time you went away to college that you were going to keep going on tuba?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so where did you go on?
For college?
Yeah.
I'm studying at the Manhattan School of Music right now.
Oh, okay. So you didn't just go kind of to your local college next door. You went for the big time. So after only a year and a half, 2 years on the tuba, you made it into Manhattan School of Music.
Yes.
Well, that was pretty heady of you. Are you that kind of guy? Do you just have confidence in a neat kind of way?
Yeah. I just, once college applications went around, I just went for it. Juilliard, Manhattan School of Music, Eastman, all the big top.
You didn't mess
colleges.
Around. You were going for it. So how is it carrying your tuba on the subway?
Oh, it's quite struggle-ish. But then again, it can be kind of fun at times because I have people who stop me and always ask, "Oh, is that a drum or is that a tuba or something like that?" So
on the Upper West Side, they're all supposed to know.
Yeah,
isn't that true that on the 7th Avenue subway, there's supposed to be 5 major musicians on every car?
Yeah,
something like that. So do you have a great teacher there?
Yeah, Kyle Turner. He's a great teacher.
And so now as a tuba player, what year in school are you?
First year undergrad.
First year undergrad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a freshman there. And so then you have to think quite realistically about what are your goals as a tuba player. You know, it's a pretty specialized world.
Yeah. Once I graduate, I plan on getting my master's. But in the end, I want to win a job somewhere with a symphony or ballet, opera, orchestra. I just want to play my entire life, I guess. So
far in your young career, have you been able to do much orchestral playing?
Oh, yes. At college, I do that, and I'm with the New York Youth Symphony currently.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, that's probably pretty exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
And so you get, and youth symphonies tend to play the pieces with good tuba parts, don't they?
Oh, yeah. We just finished Sibelius Symphony No. 2, which was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lovely tuba part. Good,
yeah.
Good for you, even amongst the counting of rests. And you're reconciled to counting rests?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So what do you do? Are you able to sit there and just completely enjoy everything else about the orchestra going on around you?
Oh, yes, for sure. A lot of great players, not only in the Youth Symphony, but in college that I've met anywhere. And anytime I'm counting rest, I just soak it all in, so to speak.
Nice. Andrew Kasdan, who's the tuba player who won the Wind Division. Are you playing Vaughan Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, the first movement?
First and second movement.
First and second movements of the Vaughan Williams Tuba Concerto, and this is probably about your first solo with an orchestra, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. So you've clearly proven you're up for any challenge at any moment. Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
To have you here.
Thanks.
And we were just hearing the discussion with the tuba player, Brandon Kasdan. Now we're on our way to a cellist who is from the high school division, the strings of the high school division within the Coeur d'Alene competition. This is Joan Herget, and she's going to play the saraband from the Bach, I believe, third cello sonata. So we'll go to our back to the studio and hear from the cellist, Joan Herget.
Thank you.
from our studio. We were just hearing the cellist Joan Herget playing the Saraban from the Bach Third Cello Sonata. And she's a winner of the high school division of strings in the Coeur d'Alene competition, which is then for performances tomorrow night and Saturday afternoon. So come close to a microphone, one or another. Go ahead and just stand up to that microphone is a much better way to do it. And Joan, thanks for that beautiful playing of Bach. That was really nice. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And where do you live?
I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay. And was the cello your first musical, starting the cello as a kid, your first musical experience?
Yes, it was. I started the cello when I was 5, and yeah.
What made you do that?
I'm not sure. I think it was mostly my mom's influence, but I think I love the cello.
Does your mom play the cello?
No, she's a violinist, but she wanted to play the cello, so that's why she probably chose it for her first.
Is she a professional musician?
Yeah. She's not a professional musician, but she did do music in university. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so there you are playing a cello. Do you have you had the same cello teacher for a long time?
Yes, I have for almost 11 years now.
Talk about having the same teacher for a long time. What's that like?
I've really gotten to know my teacher. I think we both, you know, we really connect because we've known each other for such a long time. So, yeah, it's great.
And so as you play the cello, you've done it for a long time, so it feels like part of your life. Are technical things fairly easy for you? Do you kind of able to do the difficult things on the cello with a moderate amount of practice?
Yes, after, you know, learning a piece and playing it for a while, it becomes easier and easier, but I think as you play an instrument longer and longer, you develop the technical abilities, you know, that, you know, helps you to play a lot more repertoire, a lot easier, so, yeah.
So do you play Bach cello suite movements pretty often? Have you been doing that for a bunch of years?
Yeah, I started when I was really young. I've been moving through the suites.
And what about the Saraband that you just played? Have you been playing that for a while?
A while now, yes. I learned it last year and then have brought it back this year for recordings for summer programs and whatnot. So.
And so as you play it, do you know it well enough that you're able to kind of lose yourself in it and not really worry about, okay, this is where I was supposed to put my third finger, but instead just let your mind kind of go into deeper thoughts that'll make happen?
Yes, yeah, I'd say so, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so that you can get more than just the instrumental experience. You can get a really musical experience.
Yeah.
Joan Herget, who's a cellist. Do you play in a youth orchestra in Calgary?
Yes, I do, the Calgary Youth Orchestra.
It's probably a really good orchestra,
I'm
willing to bet. What chair are you?
I'm in the first desk, actually. I sit next to the principal.
Okay, and you're fairly young, aren't you? What year in school are you?
I'm 15. I'm in grade 10.
Oh, okay, well, and so is the principal going to graduate, and then you'll, with any luck, you'll be there?
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. Hopefully.
So what's it like playing a cello in an orchestra?
I don't know. You feel very small because, you know, there's a lot of people, but I don't know. The cello part compared to the other stringed instrument parts, I'd say is fairly, you know, easy, you know, compared to the violinist. So, I don't know, there's a lot of rest in the pieces we're playing now. So it's fun to, you know, look up and, you know, bask in the sound that everybody's making. It's a great experience playing.
Have you gained good friendships?
Yes, some of my best friends are in the orchestra, yes.
And then do you also, do you have a high school musical program that you're into?
Mm-hmm, yeah, the high school I go to, Bishop Carroll High School, has a flourishing music program, actually. It has multiple stringed orchestras, and I'm in the advanced orchestra. And yeah, it's quite an accomplished orchestra. We play wonderful music, and the conductor is quite magnificent. Sorry, so it's it's a lot of fun.
Nice. And what are you playing with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony tomorrow night?
I'm playing the Elgar Cello Concerto, the fourth movement.
The fourth movement of the Elgar.
Yes.
Is this your first time to play a concerto with an orchestra?
Yes, it is.
And so, the Elgar fourth movement is just a really, really lovely thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, good. Well, have a great time doing it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Joan Herget, the cellist, who just played Bach for us, and will be playing Elgar tomorrow night at 7:30, and then Saturday afternoon And that's at the Kruk Center in Coeur d'Alene. Now we're on our way to a singer, and I think she's going to do a couple pieces for us, and I presume it will be from the classical to the Broadway. This is the singer Elizabeth Morin, and she's going to begin with Je veux vivre from Romeo and Juliet by Gounod. So in a moment, we'll go to our studio and hear this singer singing Gounod. This is the soprano Elizabeth Morin.
Thank you.
The first of two songs that we'll hear from the studio, sung by Elizabeth Morin, the soprano, that was Je Vais Vivre from Romeo and Juliet by Gounod. And she was joined by the pianist Rochelle Ventura. Now to some Broadway, the classic and beloved If I Love You from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. If I Loved You, from Carousel, Rodgers and Hammerstein's music. Again, we thank Rochelle Ventura for playing piano for these performers. Still to come in a little bit, we'll hear a solo pianist, and then we'll hear a sonata played by a violinist and a pianist. But come to a convenient microphone over here, if you will, please, Elizabeth, or do your friends call you Lizzie?
They do. I go by many names, actually.
Good. Well, a working soprano needs to have many identities, including the very fact that you just play these two pieces.
That's right.
And so let's kind of hone down on your on what you're doing vocally lately. Where in your life and career are you?
Sure. Well, I would say I'm sort of right in the middle between young artist and emerging professional, sort of right stuck in the middle there. So I'm just singing as much as I can and looking for opportunities to sort of bring me to the next level.
And so where are you living and what sort of activities are you doing right now?
I currently live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I am, like most singers in New York, auditioning all the time. And I'm looking now for opportunities that I think are really going to help me grow, that will really push me
and
to
you
the next level.
And your wait tables in a restaurant on 56th Street?
I don't. I have waited many tables in my life, but I have a really wonderful boss who I've had a few jobs while in New York, but I now have a job. I'm a project manager for a gentleman in New York, and he is extremely encouraging and supportive. So I have a lot of flexibility, which is absolutely great, which is exactly what musicians need.
Sure. The singer, Elizabeth Morin. Morin? Is that how you say it?
Moran. Well, I think it's Moran. That's what my family's been saying.
Okay, anyway. And so before you went to New York, what was your process as a singer? Were you a little kid singing all your life?
I did. I always did choirs when I was little. In fact, I actually grew up in Alaska. So
urban or rural Alaska, if there is such a distinction.
Well, Anchorage, Yeah.
With a good musical scene in Anchorage.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's great. I did choirs, and
I started singing. I had a voice teacher in high school, and then that voice teacher told me that I could do that in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to college in Chapel Hill in mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Which is a serious place for a musician to go to college.
It's great, yeah, and just a great university. Mm-hmm. I was really lucky. And then after college, I actually went back to Alaska for 2 years, and I worked for the opera company in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to sing with them, mostly, you know, chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an amazing experience, and I met a lot of great people. And ultimately, my boss at the time and the people I met pushed me to move to New York.
Nice, yeah. And so, the big scary move.
Yeah, it was definitely a big scary move, but it was the right move, and I'm grateful for those people, because I really feel like everybody's got their own path as a musician, and mine was definitely different, and I'm grateful mm-hmm. for all the opportunities that I had.
When you spoke earlier of emerging from kind of between one category and another,
right,
was it? Do you have to narrow down at this point, or do you have to stay as to get this thing that you're just known for, or are you able to stay pretty vocally and professionally broad?
You mean in terms of repertoire?
Repertoire and, you know, Broadway, mm-hmm. opera, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would be open to different repertoire, absolutely. I'm sure that my voice will probably continue to grow a bit. But I think every musician probably at this stage knows what their strengths are.
And what are yours?
Well, I think probably, it always feels weird to say what your strengths
are. I know,
but,
go for it.
I think probably my strengths are I can move my voice. And
that's good,
and
yeah.
And it also, the top of my voice is pretty easy for me. So
mm-hmm.
in that case, the coloratura repertoire is definitely well-suited.
Mm-hmm. So you can win the land speed race on the handle, rejoice
right.
greatly
yeah.
and things like that.
Maybe, yeah.
yeah. And so that allows you to do, I don't know, you're doing some Rossini and...
Yeah, I do. I do quite a bit of Rossini. I am actually doing one of the pieces I'm doing this weekend is the Tomas, the Hamlet, Ophelia's Mad Scene. I really love the French repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, anything that has a lot of movement. I mean, I love bel canto, of course, who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. So how is it? You talk about going mad on stage, because it's kind of weird, isn't it? Because in one way you're losing control, but in a way, another way with that repertoire, you have to have absolute control of everything.
Yeah, that's right.
What goes on inside you when you go mad?
That's right. That's definitely very true. Well, it took a lot of singing it over and over again with the sort of dramatic engagement uh-huh. to understand what that balance is. Because certainly in the character, it's very intense, especially toward the end. And if you were just acting it out emotionally, you would never be able to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about striking a balance, I think, and using what's written musically to sort of express what's happening. I think it's written beautifully, and mm-hmm. so the music expresses a lot of what's going
mm-hmm.
on. But it's a challenge for sure, but it's really amazing. I think it's one of the most rewarding pieces that I've done.
Nice. And so you're doing that with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony, but you
yes.
said you're doing something else also?
I'm also singing, yes, the Ach, ich liebte from the Mozart's Die Entführung.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes.
So Mozart and Thomas for on Friday night at 7:30 and Saturday afternoon at the
Croc
Center.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much
yes,
for the beautiful
you.
Singing.
Thank you so much for your time.
Great to have you here, Elizabeth Moran, the soprano.
Thank you.